Grace and peace I bring to you from God, our heavenly Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I promise that despite how we might be receiving these particular readings on this particular morning, peace is available. Grace is available. Though the opportunity to do a little hellfire and brimstone this morning did strike me as very interesting around Wednesday this week for no particular reason whatsoever. You might be wondering the depth of Paul's letter to Philemon this morning. It seems pretty simple on the face of it that Philemon is simply offering that Paul is simply offering Philemon an opportunity to do what is right and moral and good in his relationship with Onesimus, who is an actual former slave of Philemon. So at some point in this history, Philemon has sent Onesimus away for probably long years. Maybe stole something. Maybe wronged the household in some way. Perhaps did not agree to forced conversion as was the habit of this particular culture at this particular time, specifically its slaves. And so Onesimus finds his way to Rome and ends up appealing to Paul, who is in prison. And Paul, in whatever manner, ends up baptizing Onesimus and sending him back to Philemon as a sibling for use within Philemon's church in Colossae. For use. This is an interesting turn of phrase. Because we kind of experience the for use in all of our readings today, where we are invited to recognize that our commodification of another person, our using other people, is a barrier to experiencing the love that Christ invites us into, the love that God invited the people of the Hebrew people, leaving Egypt into the new land of milk and honey, into Canaan. Moses talked to them about letting things go, being invited into this opportunity to recognize that we have a choice. We can choose to follow the law at this time. We can choose to love one another, treat one another with respect, follow God's laws and precepts in the hopes of building a loving and community-forward gathering of people, or we can choose death and adversity. And Paul immediately picks up on those themes. And Jesus reminds us that come the end, we should hate everyone. Just kidding. The word here, yes, is translated into English as hate. But Jesus is not inviting us to hate everyone. And I know, if you had hate in your heart this morning, and you were really hoping to be able to leave here without being convicted, I'm going to take it away from you right now. Hate in this context has more to do with disregard. To not observe those generational invitations that we might carry from sibling or parent, from ancestor, to focus on possessions, to focus on things, to focus on beliefs that might in fact be harmful to those that are around us. Jesus is saying that if at the end of your life you have not set those things down, you are not carrying your cross. You are not invited to be the disciple of Jesus. If you focus so much of your time and attention on building towers from which to defend your position, rather than sitting in partnership with one another, you're not fighting. If you spend more time worrying about what you might lose while working to love one another, defending the positions of your neighbors, and instead focusing on a delegation of peace in an effort to just get along to get along, or another popular term of phrase in our time and place is agree to disagree. If you choose to agree to disagree with people who are talking about harming your neighbor, you're not carrying the cross. And Jesus says very plainly, you're not about that. You may recall the devastating news of our most recent mass school shooting that happened with our neighbors to the west just a couple of weeks ago. And you may recall yet another cry for thoughts and prayers. Opportunities for us to recognize the devastation, for sure. And to sit in solidarity with those who are mourning, recognizing that it is unfathomable for us to believe, to hear, to understand what it might mean for us to lose a child or a grandchild or a niece or a great nephew to gun violence at school. My father and I talk every Saturday, and yesterday he expressed to me that he is so thankful that his sons no longer go to school. And it's not just elementary education, it's not just public education, it's also our universities. Our colleges have become what those of us with a military background understand as soft targets. Soft targets. And so we're invited into this space of thought and prayer, as if the good vibes of our collective care might in fact change the trajectory of violence in this nation, specifically focused on our children, the soft targets of our time. And I find the whole thing to be extremely disgusting. We have uplifted and built towers of defense around this opportunity to experience that guns should just be available to everyone. And your passive thoughts and prayers are invited into a space to combat that in a new military language with purpose. You are invited to uplift the importance of our access to guns as a barrier, as a tower, as an army against those who say that that is the most important thing in our time. And Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. And in this time, in this place, in this situation, that cross is being willing to stand up and turn our soft targets into names, into people, grant them personhood. Recognize that these children are in danger because we have decided that guns are the most important thing. Now, you, personally, may not see guns as the most important thing. But who are you telling that to? Where have you agreed to disagree? Where have you opted to let go and let God? Another dangerous phrase in our time It is not for us to use people to our own enemies. It is not for us to modify the lives of the dead in an effort to entreat upon the most pure-hearted good of those who prefer to be nothing. It is for us to lift up the gospel, to recognize what is the most important thing for us and for our faith, and to proclaim it as our cross, recognizing that there is no greater danger to us than being denied discipleship with Christ. Nothing else matters. The invitation is to stand tall with our neighbors, whether they be immigrants, whether they be the vilified LGBTQIA plus community in our nation right now, whether they be children who are practicing after school shooter drills, often, too often, in our public and private school systems, where fear is the invitation to community, I offer you to stand up and argue that God's abundance is present. That there is more than enough love if we simply come together and raise our voices and say, enough is enough. Because we recognize what Jesus invites us into. We see the gospel message preached, taught. We feel it every Sunday. And we are invited today to recognize that anything other than picking up that cross is using those bodies as something other than the message of faith. We have an opportunity here, sisters, and we should not waste it. Don't sit here in this space and build and look at a foundation and then do nothing. Together, we can move forward. We can recognize what the most important thing is. And that is the love of all people. The inherent goodness of the life that God has given us to share with all those who are around us. To hear, see, and know that God's love is enough, not just for us, but for all. And it's time to pick up our crosses and follow Christ. Amen.